righty, hour number three of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. John Kuhn going to stop by coming up an hour from now on the day where Aaron Rodgers talks to Pat McAfee and tells us what everyone already knew besides Hickey, that Aaron Rodgers intends to play for the Jets and he's done with the Green Bay Packers. I will say, Hickey, you have to be relieved today and just happy that you don't have to give really any more Aaron Rodgers predictions for the foreseeable future, because for 2 years you said that he was going to leave. And then on the third year when you say he's going to leave again and you're finally right, you got yourself caught up in the last week, week and a half on what was taking so long to figure this out. And I tried to give you the signs, and I'm not always right, but I tried to give you the signs that he was going to the Jets and that was really the only option. And I'll give you credit on your stubbornness, how long you waited and waited and waited to finally say, okay, he's not going to the New York Jets. I think the last, the straw that broke the camel's back for you was the Alan Lazard news yesterday, because you saw a few wide receivers go for like $11 million a year. Jacoby Myers to the Raiders, Alan Lazard to the Jets, and then today, Juju Smith-Schuster to the Patriots. I think once the Lazard news happened, it was like, okay, you couldn't justify your stance anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of knew at that point that Lazard's not going to go to the Jets if Aaron Rodgers most likely won't follow suit. But
unless he just loves Nathaniel Hackett so much.
Which, and maybe he loves Zach Wilson. He goes, you know what, that's my guy. That's who I want to play with next year. I'll get my numbers from him, without a doubt.
So I'm just going to throw out a few topics here in regards to this Rodgers stuff. And whoever this guy is, Mike V, that tweets me, dude, enough about Rodgers. That's all you talk about these days. What else do you want me to talk about today, Mike? Let me ask you that. The last 2 weeks, the entire sports world is buzzing and waiting and feeding into what Aaron Rodgers wants, which is everyone to talk about him. But there has been conversations to be had each and every day. So when you have one of the biggest stars in the sports about to divorce, and we were trying to figure out where he was going to go, and like the last week and a half, we knew it was going to be the Jets, but there was thoughts that it could be the Raiders. And we were wondering, is he going to retire? Or, like, you know, is there any way that he go back to Green Bay? Like, there was all things to talk about. What else did you want us to talk about? And then he also, this guy Mike goes, oh, and all you do is also talk about if it's not Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. That's also been a mega bleeping story, Mike. So if you don't understand things and you can't get this stuff through your thick skull, do me a favor. Change the channel. We won't miss you. You know, we've done a ton of NCAA tournament talk. We've talked a ton about other stories in the NFL. We've done NBA too. Yes, Rodgers and Lamar have been driving the train recently. But what do you want me to do? Not talk about them? It'd be stupid when the entire sports world is talking about something. They go, oh, you know what? I'm going to talk about golf right now. And I'm a golf fan. Or I'm going to talk about something that is insignificant. My job here is to talk about the biggest storylines in sports and give you my opinions on it. If you don't like it, take a hike. But I did see that tweet from Mike, which I did laugh at. And just because I'm reacting to a negative tweet doesn't mean all the tweets are negative. A lot of them are, at Zach Gelb. But I did like this tweet from Jeff B, who says, this interview with this Bart guy is on caffeine, steroids, and crack. Amazing. That's a perfect way, Hickey, to describe Bart Winkler, really. And that was, I felt like I was a therapist during the course of that interview.
Perfect way to describe Bart Winkler when he's talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
He is there's two people. There's Bart Winkler, the regular guy, and there's Bart Winkler basically on Aaron Rodgers, if you will. That's when he's on that drug, forget it.
And also, could you, I'm trying to equate to you, what would be the comparison? Like, you're a huge, as you all know, as everyone knows, Indianapolis Colts fan. Now, Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers have had similar careers. One Super Bowl during their time, right, in Indy and Green Bay. Obviously, Peyton went on to go win another ring in his final game of his career with the Denver Broncos. But you've put up these ridiculous numbers, clearly first ballot Hall of Famer, multiple MVPs, absolute legend for the franchise, obviously. The Packers have more tradition and more history than the Indianapolis Colts, But could you imagine in like the last 3 or 4 years when the whole Andrew Luck thing was going down that if Peyton Manning got annoyed at the organization and started like just being such a drama queen and all that stuff, where you started to dislike Peyton Manning? Like, you get so sensitive, Hickey, when we like kind of poke fun and jab at you when we go, oh, Peyton Manning's more remembered for a Denver Bronco and loves the Broncos more than the Colts, and we're having fun with that. You get very defensive about your quarterback number 18, and you love him more than probably any other football player, not probably, more than any other football player that you've ever watched. It's just, I could never see myself when a guy has been there for that long getting so annoyed at him where he's won a Super Bowl, he's going to the Hall of Fame, but that would be kind of the equivalence if you got annoyed with the way that the departure happened with Peyton and then you couldn't stand him. Like, that's where Bart's at right now with Aaron Rodgers. Like, he appreciates the Super Bowl, but I think he genuinely does not like the guy.
Couldn't tell? Hard to tell how he feels about in the last 20 minutes where he's just screaming. And just like, the thing is, I hope I never get to that point. I get they've seen 2 Super Bowls, one each from Favre and Rodgers in the last 30 years, but you look at how it ended and how the Packers fans,
both times, a lot
do not like Brett Favre, and now a lot do not like Aaron Rodgers.
Now, it was uglier with Favre, and it's not even close.
Yes, but it's also, I mean, again, it's getting to the point where every year, the last 3 years, it's almost like you're reliving what happened 15 years ago, so it just brings up almost worse memories, and so I get why, again, a guy like Bart, now again, he's, say, the minority, maybe half how the Packers fans feels, maybe the other half still wants him and likes him, but I generally do feel bad that you feel such hatred and disdain,
right?
And I don't think it's unjustified either. To the best quarterbacks that your team has ever had, and two of the best quarterbacks you'll probably ever see in your lifetime.
Now, I'm so intrigued by Jordan Love this year, because you look at Jordan Love, you just mentioned the history. You go from Favre to Rodgers, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, to Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer. And the Packer fan is annoyed that Favre and Rodgers only won 1 Super Bowl each. Like, for Jordan Love, if he's a Hall of Famer and he's a Super Bowl champion, that's a success. But you don't usually see it go from a guy like Favre to Rodgers, let alone Favre to Rodgers, then Love ascending to be this great player. But I thought the part that Bart brought up in that, maybe Rodgers stuck it out a little bit longer than what he should have this year. I know he played the entire year, but he was dealing with the injuries and all that stuff, and he had every right to tap out, and the team looked like they were trending in the wrong direction. They made a little bit of a run at it at the end of the season before losing and having their season come crashing and burning and falling down on them up against Detroit Lions. I wonder if that was the most honest part of his conversation today with McAfee, saying that he believes in Jordan Love and Jordan Love's going to be really good. And maybe that's why when a lot of people, and I kind of said Rodgers is not going to tap out until they're mathematically eliminated, but why a lot of people, like midway through the season, really after that Philadelphia game when Love played well for a quarter and Darius Big Play Slay, who's now a free agent, was raving about him after the game, talking about Jordan Love. Maybe that is part of it, that Rodgers didn't want to see the fan base while he was there just run to someone else and have kind of this Love mania if Jordan Love would have played well in a year where the Packers were down and Rodgers wasn't playing his best football, even though he was dealing with an injury.
Makes sense. I mean, we talked about it on the show. I was in the camp of, listen, play Jordan Love. Like, there's no point in playing Aaron Rodgers anymore. The team was dead. He was hurt. Now, again, they made it, you know, exciting, but I do believe that that's part of it, where he was jealous and there was a fear that he would kind of be just pushed aside, and it's almost like out of sight, out of mind, and you end your career, not how you want, but you end your career almost just kind of fading into the darkness, because now Jordan Love, let's say, finishes the last 4 or 5 games, plays well, and now it's okay, Jordan Love's here, Aaron, thanks, but see you later. Now, it ended up happening anyway, but I think that was his biggest fear.
If I had to give you a number right now, how many quarterbacks do you think, not are better, but are more intriguing from a storyline standpoint this upcoming year in the NFL than Jordan Love? Like, I'm asking you for a hot take here, just at the top of your cabeza, what do you think the number is of how many quarterbacks you would say are more intriguing, just off the top of your head, than Jordan Love this year?
I'm trying to think. I mean, at least probably 7 or 8. Like, he's...
Like, all right, let me give you a bunch of quarterbacks here. Josh Allen. Is he more intriguing this year than Jordan Love?
No, but it's close. I'm intrigued by Josh Allen this year, but no.
I actually think Allen is more intriguing just because they had all these big expectations last year. They didn't meet them at the end of the year. The lasting memory is the Bengals just rolling you guys over in your own building, and then you and Stephon Diggs yelling at you at the sideline. You know, on the sideline. So I would say Allen's a little bit more intriguing than Love. Tua.
Absolutely, Tua.
I would agree. Mac Jones.
Jordan Love.
Agreed. Aaron Rodgers. Or
Aaron Rodgers. This is tough.
I would actually say, wow, I'm more intrigued by Love because I know what I'm getting with Rodgers. Like, he'll be fine. He'll play well. I think they'll make the playoffs. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. I don't know what the ceiling is for Jordan Love. Joe Burrow or Jordan Love? More intriguing.
Jordan Love.
Agreed. Lamar Jackson or Jordan Love?
Lamar.
It's Lamar, just because we don't know where he's going to be playing or how happy he's going to be in Baltimore. Now, if Lamar gets a new contract with Baltimore, I would say then it becomes Jordan Love, because then the Lamar Jackson situation's over if he gets a new deal. But I don't think he's getting a new deal. Kenny Pickett.
Jordan Love.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Agreed. Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
I would say Jordan Love, just because even though it's the next step on how far you could take it if you're Trevor Lawrence, you just showed how great of a player you could be, and you have Doug Peterson, and you should win that division. Ryan Tannehill?
Jordan Love.
Okay. Whoever's playing quarterback for the Colts, okay.
Jordan Love.
Whoever, we don't know who's playing quarterback for the Texans. If it's Bryce Young, let's just say.
I would say Bryce Young.
Okay.
But that's also selfish because I have a lot invested in Bryce Young.
I would say it's Jordan Love, just because it's year one for a rookie quarterback, and that Texans team is nowhere close to getting to the level where they should be. Mahomes or Love? More intriguing.
Love.
Herbert or Love?
Herbert.
Agreed. Jimmy G or Love? More intriguing.
Love.
Agreed. Russell Wilson.
Russ.
Yeah. So that's like, now, I think I may disagree with two of you on there, so I had 6, so you'll probably have 8. That's just in the AFC. Now, how about the NFC real quickly? Jalen Hurts or Jordan Love, more intriguing.
I would say Hurts.
Really?
Yeah. He's going to get paid. I'm just, you know, can you repeat it? They lost a lot this offseason. It's now, it's the bar is so high after what you did last year. It's,
but they didn't really lose much on the offensive side of the ball.
You lose your offensive coordinator. You lose Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
It's now also the tape is out on you.
I would say,
can you repeat it?
Coming off back-to-back MVP, back-to-back playoff seasons, and just having an MVP caliber season, I'm more intrigued by Love because I know what Hurts is. Dak Prescott or Love?
Love.
For me, it's Dak, because you then start to wonder, are they going to move on? I don't think they will, but you now there's 2 years left in that contract. They'll probably extend him this offseason, and there's now the play calling is back on McCarthy. Dak's been close to the next 2 years. I want to see if they get over the hump. Daniel Jones or Love?
Daniel Jones.
Ooh, that one's tough. I would say after the Waller news, probably Jones. Just because he has the new contract, and now it's like, okay, how far can you take this? Commanders, you could forget about. Like Sam Howell or Love, I'm assuming you're going Love. Or Jacoby, yes. Brissett.
Well, I do love Jacoby, but I will still go Jordan Love.
Kirk Cousins.
Jordan Love.
Jared Goff. That's tough.
That is tough.
It's close.
I will say Goff.
Okay.
I think the ceiling's higher for the Lions.
I would slightly go Love, just because I think I know that Goff is just solid. I don't think he'll ever be better than that. For Love, I just don't know what he could be. How about Justin Fields or Love? More intriguing.
Justin Fields.
Yeah. Especially after going out there and getting DJ Moore. Baker Mayfield or Love?
Jordan Love.
CJ Stroud, assuming he goes to the Panthers, or Love?
Jordan Love.
Saints with Derek Carr or Jordan Love? More intriguing.
I would say the Saints. I'm interested to see Derek Carr, new team, new weapons.
So I would say it's Love, and here's why. Like, the Saints at their best, what, are just going to win that division at 9 games? They're not going to be a threat in the playoffs.
No, but what are the Packers at their best next year?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know what Jordan Love could be. Like, I don't think Jordan Love's going to get onto the scene right away and win 12 games, but if he's just dominant next year, like, I don't, you know, last year, Rodgers didn't play well, and they still almost made the playoffs.
Why are you calling? Are we calling him Patrick Mahomes glow up 2.0 here?
No, I'm not saying
MVP.
That. I truly just don't, legitimately don't know what Jordan Love's going to be.
It's yanking your chain a little.
The Niners QB situation is more intriguing than
yes.
Love. Geno Smith or Love?
Ooh.
More intriguing.
Interesting.
There's more than you would actually think.
Interesting.
Because right now this is dominating the NFL storylines. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are tough here to say who's more intriguing.
I would say,
I would say Geno? Right now it's Love, but after the draft, if they don't draft a quarterback, Seattle, that means they're more, even though they just paid Geno 3 years, they're more committed to Geno for the long term than what we thought. Like, if they draft a quarterback, I think it takes the air out of the balloon of Geno Smith.
But, I mean, if it's Anthony Richardson, he's not going to play a year or two.
But it shows still you when Geno's they're moving team. On. Like, right now, they're selling you Geno. Stafford or Love?
I would go Love, just because I see that the Rams are just ripping it apart.
And then Kyler Murray, we'll see when he gets back. Like, if he comes back for only six games, I can't really say it's Kyler Murray.
I will say in those six games, I will be interested to see how he plays and how the team responds to him.
But the clock could start ticking very quickly because by 2025, that's when the dead cap number falls enough where you could think about moving on. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, right now, when we get in terms of the compensation for Aaron Rodgers, who do you think has more leverage here? Like the Jets, clearly it's their last resort, but the Packers know that they have to trade him. I don't really think either side has leverage. Maybe if I had to go one way or another, it's the Packers just because they keep on delaying it a little bit, and it's how long do you want to play this game? But do you really want to have this story keep on dragging out and then Rodgers keeps on going on McAfee and, you know, today he like kind of had the kid gloves on and he still ripped you. He would just rip you more and more if you keep on holding him hostage, ironically.
Packers have the leverage, I think.
What do you think they end up getting?
I would say a first round pick.
You do?
I think they get one out.
I'm going to say it's going to be a conditional pick. I'm just debating if it's going to be a 3 that turns into a 2. Or a 2 that turns into a 1, I will probably say it's a 2 that turns into a 1 with certain parameters based on how far the Jets go this year and also playing time of Aaron Rodgers. News brief next, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy, you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show says he plans to play for the JTS Jets in 2023.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in.
I love the first jab, by the way, Hickey. They're kind of digging their heels in. You know, it's all right. After 3 minutes of just talking and talking and talking in circles, then it's, I plan to play for the Jets. That's what my intentions are. And I've known that since Friday, and now it's the Packers just digging their heels in deep.
It's starting, you know, the I don't know if propaganda is the right word, but he is pushing the narrative that it's not him, even though that's, I thought, at least speculated, that was the reason why we have not got a trade done, and shedding some light on that, we'll say.
But in reality, this is the difficult part. I then saw a report today that he hasn't even told Gutekunst yet that he's done. So who knows how much you could actually believe? Because I thought Rodgers told a bunch of lies today or white lies today and stretched the truth a little bit. You know, when did he tell the Packers? How did he communicate that? Did he even tell them? Did he just have his agent do it? But according to one report that I read, Gutekunst hasn't even heard from Rodgers yet and hasn't even told him. So it's like, I don't know. I take everything Rodgers says with a grain of salt at this rate.
I guess why I'm inclined to believe him here is because Mark Murphy's comments on Friday make it seem
past
like
tense.
The Packers are ready to move on, and the only way he'd be back is if things don't go the way they want to, which would, again, say that they want to trade and that they've been open to trade discussions. And again, they allowed the Jets to talk to him. So
yes.
They have to know he, whether it's his decision or not, does not want to be there. And you have to obviously have some sort of trade talk for that to happen.
Sure, but did he ever, after having those conversations with the Jets, relay that message to Gutekunst? Okay, thank you for letting me meet with them. I'm done. I'm good. Like, I can see this going both ways because you know the Packers didn't want him anymore, and that was the first thing. And then you know Rodgers, since the Packers didn't want him, and he kind of sensed it, he even said that that was his last game in Green Bay, and that's why he wanted to walk off the field with Randall Cobb, that he knew he was coming back. It's just a dumb staring contest here. And it wouldn't surprise me if he knew what he wanted and he's like, oh, the Packers know what I wanted, but then still never officially told them. Aaron Rodgers says the Packers didn't want him anymore. Once again, the Pat McAfee Show.
The reality of the situation, you know, like, it is what it is. The Packers would like to move on. They've let me know that in so many words. They've let other people know that in direct words. And because I still have that fire and I want to play and I would like to play in New York, it's just a matter of, you know, getting that done at this point.
So here's where Rodgers loses me today. And it's, once again, could have been better communication on both sides. He was asked by AJ Hawk, if the Packers said they wanted you at the end of the year, would you have been open to a return? And he said no. So it's like, if your decision was to play or not to play, and it wasn't going to be in Green Bay, why don't you just tell the Packers that at the end of the season? That's the part, Hickey, where Rodgers loses me today, where I thought his communication could have been better.
I guess when it comes to that, I mean, he kind of mentioned the fact that basically he felt all season long the Packers didn't want him back. So I guess I understood it from that answer is just like, that never crossed my mind because it just felt like that was never an option. So you never even entertain it to begin with because, like, that's not going
to
happen.
So then when the Packers come to you at the end of the year, according to Rodgers, and they say, we're going to give you the time to go make your decision, then you let us know, doesn't that give the indication? Obviously, he didn't believe that the Packers wanted him back. Like, I don't think they wanted him back. But at that rate, Rodgers never afraid to say what's on his mind. He should have just told them, guys, I know you don't want me. I don't want to come back. I'm either going to retire or I'm going to play somewhere else. That's the decision I'm making. That's once again where he loses me. Rodgers says the Packers changed their view on him this offseason. Pat McAfee Show.
We come off of last year with obviously missing the playoffs. I didn't have an MVP season. You know, I was interested in where they would be at mentally. Everything that I was told in the week that I was in Green Bay was take as long as you want and, you know, we want you to retire, Packer. You know, you want to come back and play. Obviously, the door is wide open. So that was the information that I was going. And now, when I came out of the darkness, something changed. I'm not exactly sure what that was, but something changed, and I realized that there'd been a little bit of a shift, and that I heard from multiple people that I trust around the league, players mostly. That there was some shopping going on, that they were interested in actually moving me.
So this is where he loses me again. You knew when you were walking off the field, that was probably it in Green Bay, and you sensed it all throughout the year. Then you had your conversation with the Packers, and they left the door open. But even though you knew you were gone, I guess you thought that was genuine. And then once you come out of the cave, right out of your darkness retreat, that's when you said, oh, aha, the Packers don't want you anymore? That's tough for me to believe there, Hickey. They didn't want him all along. You knew that. The moment they said they were ready to go to Jordan Love, you knew they were done with him.
I agree. I don't know why that they didn't communicate it as well. Like, I think they're
both ways.
Right, both are in the wrong here. And it's just like, it just if one side
it's
one side was just up front and honest, we would have either avoided all this, or at least it would have been more cordial than it seemingly now, where it's he said, she said in the media all the last 2 months.
Now, Scott in California called him Arrogant Aaron. I thought that was very funny earlier. I know I've called Brian Gutekunst before Lion Brian. I can't come up with something clever enough when it comes to Rodgers lying, but Aaron Rodgers saying he was very close to retiring this offseason was a load of crap. Here is that.
At this point, you know, I got to admit, I went in the darkness, 90% retiring, 10% playing. That's where my mind was. My mind was, I'm tired of this. I hadn't got back into my workouts yet, and I thought that was what was best for me. So I went in the darkness to contemplate a lot of different things, but one day I spent entirely on the reality I was retired, and one day I spent entirely on the reality that I was coming back and playing. And just really sat with that for hours and hours, what that looked like, what the reality is, how that all felt. And when I came out, I was really interested in what the kind of landscape was, where Green Bay was at. And obviously, if I wanted to play, you know, what were the options?
When he comes out of this retreat, his phone must have been fascinating. Just how many messages he must have had, and this idea that he started to get a sense from everyone else that the Packers are done for him, which I don't lie. But could you imagine going, like, I know he said he had like one bar Wi-Fi or something, but he, I guess, wasn't really using his phone. Like, I don't even know how that works. After 4 or 5 days of basically having no contact with the outdoor world, like right away you're able to make that decision that quickly. Okay, yeah, I'm coming back and I'm playing. After you walked in 90% that this was donezo.
Wasn't that the point, though? Right, the whole point of was to think about and contemplate your future and figure out what he wanted to do. Like, I think he knew
going in he was playing, and I think he left, knew he was playing. I just don't buy the 90% part. Rodgers, when he decided he wanted to play this season.
We had a nice conversation, and I told them, listen, I'm not ready to make a decision about anything. I want to get back into my workouts and see how it feels, you know, to really hit it hard for a week. I've obviously been working out before that, but to really hit it hard for a week and to see if the drive and the passion is still there. And then I'll, you know, see where we're at. And so, again, this is why this is not a decision here. The decision, I think, was made in my mind whether or not I was able to admit at that point, really on that Tuesday, I wanted to play. And then it was, you know, how is my body feeling? Is it going to be able to hold up? So at this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
So he's made it clear, but to who? Like, did he make that clear to the Jets? Did he ever tell Green Bay? Because once again, there's that one report that Gutekunst has not heard from Rodgers yet. You know, maybe he told someone in the Packers organization. Who knows? Aaron Rodgers says Jordan Love will have a lot of success.
Jordan's going to be a great player. He's a great kid. He had a really good year this year, getting better, you know, on the look team. He's got a bright future in front of him. They got a good young team.
And let's go to Aaron Rodgers saying the reports about him having demands on which players to sign isn't true. Pat McAfee Show.
From what I've seen, it's like I had a sheet of paper when I met with the Jets and I said, sign these people. And that's not the reality. That's okay. So ridiculous.
All right, that sounds good.
It's so stupid to think that I would do it number one. Now, did they ask me about certain guys that I played with over the years? Of course. Did I talk glowingly about teammates that I love? Yeah. Do I love those guys on the list? Of course. Do I make demands about certain people? I mean, first of all, who wouldn't want to have Odell on their team? Like,
agreed. Yeah, he'd be cool.
Like,
yeah,
come on. But what are we talking about here? I don't have demands. Look, my only demand is for transparency.
Well, in essence, don't you do have demands? Like, if you're going to meet with the Jets, Hickey, and the Jets ask you, let's say if he was right, they ask you, who would you want to bring to New York? Like, who are some players that you want? But the Jets have to convince you to say yes. And you go, oh, I want Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham Jr. If the Jets say no, or if they fight you on any of them, you're then not going to sign off on accepting the deal to the Jets if they could ever figure out the compensation on this. So, in essence, it isn't demand. It's all semantics and stupid with him.
Bar Winkler hit it perfectly when he joined us. He said he just takes one word and just says, oh, the whole thing's false.
Yeah.
Diane Rossini said wish list. It's the same thing. These are the players I like. These are who I want to play with. Get it done or not.
Aaron Rodgers on his message to Adam Schefter.
Ask Schefter what I text him when he somehow got my number and texted me. You know, I didn't respond to Diana Rossini, I think her name is.
Yes, like Diana.
You got my great word. Well, but like, I would say the same thing that I told Schefty. Lose my number. Ooh. Nice try.
What a douche. Seriously. Lose my number. Nice try. Like, oh, it's beneath Aaron Rodgers to see a text and not respond to someone. You have to be like, oh, lose my number. He's insufferable. He really is. I don't get why he doesn't like Schefter and Rossini. I know he wants to control everything that's said about him, but when you're that big of a star, you can't control everything that's being said about you. And what did Schefter and Rossini say in the last week that was wrong? Nothing. Nada. Zilch. And Rodgers thinks like he got one over the media today with Schefter and Rossini. I think Schefter and Rossini, this benefits them, if anything. Like, they look better than Rodgers today. I think Rodgers looks like a jerk there, and Schefter and Rossini were just doing their job. What do you want them to do? Not contact you for comment? Okay, fine. Then don't get mad about what's being said about you. And finally, Rodgers says that Nathaniel Hackett, this one will go over well in Denver, is a great coach.
Anybody who's been around Nathaniel Hackett knows that he brings a lot of energy, a lot of fun. He's an incredible teacher of the game, especially the quarterback position. And he's a really good human being. So if it's, you know, for people to say that that was done just an attempt to lure me, like, is a total disservice to Nathaniel Hackett, what he's accomplished in his career, the kind of person that he is.
And then actually, I'll go one more. Rodgers says other teams wanted to trade for him besides the Jets. McAfee Show, one more time.
I think there were other teams that were interested, and obviously there's you know, certain players that I have a lot of love and affinity for. And the reuniting with especially one specific person would have been
Devontae in Las Vegas. But you're talking about Devontae Adams?
I'm not mentioning any names, but you know, there's definitely one particular guy who you know, who him and I have this, you know, special kind of unspoken rapport.
Do you think other teams were interested? Now, we know the Raiders were interested. There was a report out today that they, you know, inquired, and then I guess they didn't really go that much further, and then they elected to move on and go bring Jimmy G. But he said other teams. We haven't heard a peep about any other team outside the Raiders and the Jets on this one.
Maybe a nibble from the Commanders and the Packers shut it down. Like, that's the thing, too. You're probably reaching out to Green Bay, not Aaron Rodgers.
Fair.
I would say maybe one, two at the max.
But so it wasn't a robust market.
Four, right. And I don't, doesn't sound like anything got further, maybe even an initial phone call with most.
I would be kind of surprised in terms of serious interest if the number is greater than three. I would say maybe there's one more team, but outside of that, like, I can't fault the team. They're just calling a call to see what it would take, things like that. But I would say serious interest, maybe at most three.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. The new league year officially started today, as you could put the oxymoron of the legal tampering period behind us and in the rearview mirror. Still a lot more moves need to go down, trades as well, and also the NFL draft. But just taking a pulse of how we view the NFL right now for next season, when we sit here not knowing the draft picks, not knowing what injuries will happen, not knowing what other trades will go down and all the free agency signings, just sitting here on March 15th, I want to go division by division here, Hickey, and do one and two in each division where we currently sit. So let's start with the AFC East. I will start off, and I will go the Bills will finish in first, and the Jets about to get Rodgers. I will slightly put them above the Dolphins just because I don't know the health and what the health will be throughout an entire year of Tua Tagovailoa. So the AFC East, I will go Bills and Jets.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
AFC North. I'm going to go Bengals one, and then two. I think this will surprise some people, but I'll put the Pittsburgh Steelers in at two. I think Kenny Pickett's going to have a big sophomore season, be the guy from game one, be the guy from the offseason. And I like George Pickens. You could get better on that offensive line. The health was not there at times last year with the defense. So maybe they'll be healthier. I will go Bengals 1, Steelers 2. Browns, I just don't know how much rust there still is to knock off with Deshaun Watson. And the Ravens, I don't know what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. So I'll go Bengals 1 right now, Steelers 2. You?
I'll go Bengals 1, Browns 2. I think a big bounce back here from Deshaun Watson. This roster will be better. I think Browns parlay that with a second place finish.
AFC South. Ooh. Jags 1. This may be the toughest, figuring out who's going to be number 2. I guess it would still be Tennessee. Like, I don't feel good about anyone for the 2 spot, but if Henry and Tannehill are still there, I would trust, let me rephrase that, Henry to do enough where for the Colts, we don't know who's going to be their quarterback, and for the Texans, you'll probably be starting Bryce Young, but still, what else do you really have on that roster? Like, it's not crazy to say the Texans maybe usurp Tennessee, because Tennessee could be really bad with all that they've lost. But as long as Derrick Henry's still there, I for now would lead Tennessee in the 2 spot.
I will say Tennessee as well in number 2, obviously behind the Jags in number 1 because of Mike Vrabel. That's it. More with
good
less.
Point.
Trust him. And I think still the Texans are going to still retool that offense to where they're going to start adding pieces next year, not this year.
The reason why I laugh, and probably Brandon Cooks you would think would be traded too. The reason
Larry Tunsil.
The reason why I laugh is for the last 2-3 years, all you've done has pretty much spent every entire offseason trashing Tennessee. And now when there's like a reason to get out on them, now you go in on them in terms of a positive.
Well, I'd love to pick the Colts. I can't. And I would not love to pick the Texans in this situation, but it's like I can't do that either. Maybe no choice.
AFC West, this is easy for me. Chiefs 1, Chargers 2. Go ahead, spew your Broncos nonsense.
Chiefs 1, Broncos 2.
You still believing in that, Russell Wilson?
That's right.
NFC East. Oh. Eagles 1, even though they're going to lose Darius Slay. You know, they have retained Bradbury. Looks like they will retain C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'll still go Cowboys too. Cowboys have good regular seasons, just miserable postseasons.
Still don't like the Giants roster that much. I think it still is a year away from really competing, and we have no idea who the Commanders quarterback is going to be. I'm with you, 1-2, Eagles, Cowboys.
I really wonder who the Commanders start week 1. The Jacoby Brissett move today was exactly kind of the type of dude that Rivera responded to us with at the Super Bowl and his answer, where it's like, oh, Sam Howell is QB1 right now, but we're going to bring in a veteran guy with him. And I remember saying to you that day, the veteran guy that they bring in, is it going to be a guy that could actually go win the job, or a guy that you're bringing in that's good competition, but you're basically setting up Sam Howell to win the job? And I remember both of us left that conversation listening to the tone of Rivera, and it kind of felt like it was, okay, we want Sam Howell to win the job, but even every opportunity to win the job, and it's not gonna, you're not gonna bring in a guy like Rodgers, even though you probably should have, where it's like, okay, that's definitely your starter. There's no really competition there.
Jacoby Brissett is the perfect backup. Experience, can start in a pinch.
Handles the
also,
locker room the right way.
Right. I was gonna say he's perfect to help develop a young guy.
Okay. NFC North right now. I'm going Lions 1. Vikings 2. I still think that defense got a lot of work to do in Minnesota, and I like the direction that the Lions are trending. Scott in California is probably on line 1 already telling me that I'm just a hater.
I hate to agree, but I think I will agree here. I'm a little worried about the Lions being the trendy pick and everyone going for the Lions. They have a really good roster, and I think Jared Goff will take another step. I think they win the division. I will say the Vikings also finish 2nd.
Last year, you were very optimistic on the Panthers. Last year, you called Baker Mayfield on the day that he landed in Carolina a top 5 quarterback in the NFC, which ended up not coming out to be a true statement. Baker Mayfield on the day that he lands in Tampa Bay, 1-2 in the NFC South. What do you do?
Bucks 1.
Wow!
Saints 2. I don't trust the health of the Saints. I don't trust Dennis Allen. I would go Buccaneers.
I was maybe leaning Bucks 1, But after hearing you go Bucks 1, I will go Saints 1 because of Derek Carr and then the Buccaneers in at number 2. NFC West, Niners, and then the Seahawks. I just can't trust the Rams, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and the Cardinals. I don't know when Kyler Murray is going to return.
Same. Niners, Seahawks, 1-2, nice and easy. Don't think they'll both be playoff teams, but definitely at least in the division, that's the order.
So we agree, Bills, Jets. I go Bengals, Steelers, 1-2. You go Bengals, Browns. We both agree, Jaguars, Tennessee. I go Chiefs, Chargers. You go Chiefs, Broncos. We're both on Eagles, Cowboys. We're both on Lions, Vikings. I go Saints, Bucks. You go Bucks, Saints. And then we're both on the 49ers and the Seahawks. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show. Coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio on the day where Aaron Rodgers officially says it's done with Green Bay. I want to go play for the New York Jets. We will be joined on the other side by a man who we really traveled through a journey with this guy the last 3 years. He is a friend of Aaron Rodgers. He is a listener to this show. He is someone that's been extremely benevolent to us with his time. That is the former fullback for the Packers and the Saints. And that, of course, is John Kuhn, who's going to join us on the other side. And remember, 2 years ago, he was the only one that was saying Rodgers wasn't going anywhere. And then right before the start of this offseason, he was like, it feels different this year. So we will get John Kuhn's reaction on the other side on the day where Aaron Rodgers tells us the worst-kept secret that he wants to go play for the Jets and he's done with Green Bay. John Kuhn in 5 minutes.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear whatever I want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature too. Because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified Merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane.